Remember what to do, friends. Now tell me right out loud. What are you supposed to do when you see the flash?
Duck and cover.
That means it's time to open the thrift shop with DJ Frederick.
Have you ever dreamed of a place far away from it all? Where the air you breathe is soft and clean, and children play in fields of green, and the sound of guns doesn't pound in your ears. Have you ever dreamed of a place far away from it all, where the winter winds will never blow and living things have room to grow, and the sound of guns doesn't pound in your ears anymore? Many miles from yesterday, before you reach tomorrow, where the time is always just today.
They dropped the bomb in 45 to end the world war. No one had ever seen such a terrible sight before. The world's a gun with flies white, just seeing where it might lead. The politics of power passed around the sea. It was a time to remember. The Akin never can forget them again. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian roulette. They arose like the saviors of our modern human race, with radiation halos hung above their face, with the key to the sure cure, the treatment of our ills, a hot sheet of cobalt, a pocket full of pills, speaking always of the enemy, who lurks across the sea while they corrupt in among us like a carrier disease. Deep down inside the bunkers of the concrete and the lead, Einstein's disciples working steadily ahead, like heavy metal power plants to fire the city lights. All you can hear in the underground is the humming through the night. The walls of tight security circle all around, where they spill out their poison and they bury it in the ground. Hold up in the harbors, hidden secretly away, warheads and submarines, they await to make their play. Military masterminds improving their designs, the soldiers get all doped up, stumble through the lines, and the spills into the rivers get carried out by the tide. They call this security, we're not satisfied. Our statesmen and leaders on politicians pay, quick to heed the hand that feeds, careful what they say. Call out experts to assure us to wave the magic wands. This is our future, the future man. and they call in all their favors. All the political gains while the spills fill the rivers and settle in the plains. They've caused the death of millions, that's their stock in trade. They will be afflicted by the spoil that they've made. They've sealed their own inevitable doom, it must surely come. That even the moons of Jupiter will be far enough away to run when the surf that they've assaulted begins to turn around and the unavoidable gravity sucks them to the ground. I know the minds behind them, they are riddled full of holes. That's to be trusted with their hands at the controls. Their eyesight it is twisted by the glory in their careers. The heaped praise of flattery is music to their ears. To listen to them talk about how it hasn't happened, it's like playing Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian roulette. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian roulette. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian roulette.
Moving Hearts from 1987, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian Roulette. I'll be playing more of the Moving Hearts in the not-too-distant future, so please stay tuned. We started off the show with the theme to Ross Hunter's production of Lost Horizon, which came out back in 1972. Song written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. That was Lost Horizon by Sean Phillips from a very scarce promo 7-inch vinyl single. And yes, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, where we sift through a treasure trove of musical curios, 78s, old tapes, vinyl, and CDs, exploring the past century of music and recorded sound. I've got a tribute vinyl, 10-inch vinyl record that was released on Earworm Records in England. It is a tribute to the West Coast Pop Art Experimental Band. There are 6 really good covers on this record of the West Coast Pop Art Experimental Band. We're going to hear both sides, starting off with Lucky Luke, Will You Walk With Me in the Morning?
Thank you. me in the morning to my love. Will you walk with me in the morning to my love? Don't worry about the people anymore. You'll never hear that baby cry again.
Thank you. After a large meteor exploded over Russia in February 2013, many were comparing the event to one that also happened in Russia a century before.
That earlier event happened on June 30, 1908, in a remote part of Russia. As in 2013, witnesses saw a fireball streak across the daytime sky. Within moments, something exploded in the atmosphere above Siberia's Tunguska River. The explosion released enough energy to kill reindeer and flatten trees for many kilometers around the blast site. This event is now widely known as the Tunguska event.
At the time, it was tough to reach this remote part of Siberia. It wasn't until 1927 that researchers made an expedition to investigate the Tunguska event. They interviewed witnesses and explored the region where the trees fell. There were no meteorite fragments and no sign of a crater.
Over the years, scientists and others concocted fabulous explanations of the Tunguska explosion, like the encounter of the Earth with an alien spacecraft, or a mini black hole, or a particle of antimatter.
The truth is much more ordinary. It's likely a small icy comet or stony asteroid collided with Earth's atmosphere on June 30, 1908. As in 2013, the object appears to have exploded in the atmosphere and caused a fearsome airburst above Russia. I'm Michael Brennan.
And I'm Emily Howard. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
And this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. We've been hearing some music by different bands in a tribute EP called Out of Town, Outer Space, a West Coast pop art experimental band covers EP, which was released on Earworm Records in the UK back in, I think, around 1999. We heard Lucky Luke with Will You Walk Me in the Morning, The Smoke Rings with Smell of Incense, and a transparent fan, I Won't Hurt You. We're going to flip the vinyl over and listen to side B, starting off with The Orange Alabaster Mushroom.
Part Orange, the West Coast pop art experimental band.
Thank you. Westford Pop Art Experimental Band, Part 1.
Cool side B of Out of Town, Outer Space, a West Coast pop art experimental band covers EP, which was released on Earworm Records' great little 10-inch vinyl EP. We heard The Orange Alabaster Mushroom with Until the People Have Money, Until the Poorest People Have Money to Spend, The Clientele with Tracy Had a Hard Day Sunday, and South Hall Riot, High Coin. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. If you look out the window, there's a lot of snow out there. Actually, not a whole lot, but it is quite slippery and the driving is treacherous. I can tell you that for a fact from coming up north on 89 in a little Honda Accord. So, tonight, more snow is likely, mainly before midnight. It'll be cloudy with a low around 24. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high near 36. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 21. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 37. And Tuesday night, a 50% chance of snow after midnight. And Wednesday looks like, oh boy, snow, sleet, freezing rain. Welcome back to winter. Well, April is just 5 weeks away, so let's hang in there and hope that we're going to get through this. We always do. We're from New England, eh? Yeah. Well, this is the Radio Thrift Shop, where we celebrate the mystery of discovering music in dusty record bins, on old 78s, on homemade CDs, on obscure records, on reel-to-reels, 8-tracks, and cassette tapes. From music recorded in the early 1900s to music being released next week, it's open house at the Radio Thrift Shop. And I have another occasional new feature that I would like to bring to you. It's called That Was the Year, and we're going to be going all the way back in our TARDIS time machine to 1896, and we're going to be exploring the events in sound from 1896. Strap in, hang on.
That was the year.
That was the year.
Recreating notable events of passing time, reviving memories of men and women who have contributed to the history of a modern world.
Thank you.
1896, that was the year. The annals of every year since time began hold the history of at least one event that by the sheer shock of its violent audacity remains long in the minds of men. Such an event was the memorable Jameson Raid, which had its culmination in the year 1896. Previously, for a long period of time, there had existed in South Africa bitter rivalry between the Boers of Dutch descent and the Uitlanders of British, Belgian, and French descent. The British settlers felt keenly that the Boers, under the leadership of President of the Transvaal Republic, Paul Kruger, by excessive taxes, high-handed control of elections, control of the courts, inadequate schools, and by any means at hand, were forcing British capital and British industry from the rich mineral lands of the Transvaal. It is July of 1896, in the Queen's Bench Division of the High Court of Justice in London, England.
Now, my lords, gentlemen of the jury, allow me to review briefly the sequence of plotting which led directly to this most unfortunate occurrence, the so-called Jameson Raid. Granted that within the hearts of these men there burned the unquenchable longing for a voice in the government of the Transvaal Republic in South Africa. For example, there was the ill-advised and inauspicious manifesto issued by Charles Lennard.
What do we want? We want, first, the establishment of this republic as a true republic. Second, a constitution which shall be framed by competent persons selected by representatives of the whole people. Third, an equitable franchise law and fair representation. Fourth, equality of the Dutch and English languages. Fifth, responsibility of the legislature to the heads of the great departments. Sixth, removal of religious disabilities. Seventh, independence of the courts of justice. Eighth, liberal and comprehensive education. Ninth, efficient civil service with adequate provision for pay and pension. 10th, free trade in South African products. That is what we want.
That, my lords, was the flint spark which touched off this whole affair. Next, we know that last year, Dr. Jameson and Her Majesty's own Premier in Cape Colony, Cecil Rhodes...
But Cecil, we must have action, and we need your help.
Very well, Jim. I shall stand with you.
Good. Now, here are the plans. I shall gather a force of about 800 men at the Transvaal border.
And now, my
lord, shall remain until
gentlemen, we have also presented into evidence the deciphered secret messages sent between certain parties to this conspiracy.
December 23rd, 1895, to Dr. Jameson, Fitzenny. Company will be floated next Saturday, 12 o'clock night. They very anxious you must not start before Saturday night and secure telegraph silence. We suspect Transvaal getting away slightly. Harris, Cape Town.
What does Harris mean? Must not start before Saturday night. We're ready to start now, and by gad, we're going to start. This cause must not be lost.
And now, we know that Dr. Jameson did start. That word reached the Reform Committee in Johannesburg that Cecil Rhodes' brother, Colonel Francis Rhodes, distributed arms among the Uitlanders in that city. That Jameson and his so-called raiders were met and captured at Doornkop by the Boer forces. Shortly after, we all know Cecil Rhodes was found to have acted in a manner inconsistent with his duties as Prime Minister of Cape Colony and resigned his premiership in January of this year. If these men now facing English justice are not punished by the Crown for their part in this Jameson raid, the government will be guilty of rescinding their agreement with the President Paul Kruger.
Late in the afternoon of July 28, 1896...
The prisoners will stand and face the court to receive sentence. You have all been found guilty by a jury of your peers on charges of violating the Foreign Enlistment Act, and it is now the duty of this court to mete out sentences commensurate with your guilt. Dr. Leander Starr Jameson, this court sentences you to 15 months' imprisonment in Holloway Prison without labor. Major John Willoughby, this court sentences you to...
And so ended the hapless Jameson raid. But the effects of this move were to be long-lasting, finding their culmination in the Boer War, the flight of Paul Kruger, and the complete and permanent control of Great Britain in the South African territories under question. And although Cecil John Rhodes had resigned as Premier of Cape Colony, he did not cease his tireless efforts in behalf of his beloved Queen and her government.
Sunday, August 23, 1896, Bulawayo, South Africa.
The chieftains and warriors of the belligerent Matabele tribes are gathered for a conference with the white chieftains. Finally,
A horse gallops into view, comes to a halt near the natives. Cecil Rhodes dismounts, strides to the most befeathered of the Matabele chiefs.
Sakumbo, my brother, I greet you.
White Bwana Rhodes Moga, I greet you. You carry gun?
No, Sakumbo. I am unarmed. I come to you and your warriors to tell you must not fight your English brothers.
We make peace with condition.
Yes? And what is the condition, Sakumbo?
You must stay here.
I?
You must stay here. South Africa, watch over Sakumbo and his warriors.
Yes, Sakumbo. I'll not leave you. I shall remain in South Africa.
Good. Then we lay down gun and assegai. Basi! Basi! How? Basi! Now, Sakumbo and warrior make peace.
Thank you, Sakumbo. This sort of thing is enough to make life worth living.
...1896. That was the year.
Moscow, Russia, May 26. In the awesome, hushed atmosphere of the Cathedral of the Assumption, in a small anteroom stand two gorgeously robed figures, Nicholas Alexandrovich Romanov and his wife, Alexandra Feodorovna.
Nicholas, we shall soon be Tsar and Tsarina of all the Russias.
Ah, yes.
What worries you, Nicholas? All this day you have been suffering.
Alexandra, I am not prepared for this great task.
Oh, why do you say that? You are the most regal
no,
of all.
No, no. A monarch must do more than wear uniforms. He must shoulder more than a robe of ermine. There have been ill omens today.
Omens?
Yes, signs which bode ill for my reign. In the festival celebrating our coronation, 3,000 of my subjects were trampled to death. Festival! And just now, as we came to the steps of the cathedral, the imperial chain fell from my breast. Mark you, Alexandra, mark what I say. The reign of Nicholas II is doomed.
Your imperial majesties, everything is ready.
Oh, yes, yes, thank you. Come, Alexandra, the death march is being played for us.
Twenty-two years later, in the torch-lit cellar of a house in Tobolsk, Nicholas Alexandrovich, last of the Romanov dynasty, which had occupied a trembling throne for three centuries, his empress and their five children, were shot to death by a Soviet commissar.
1896, that was the year
that Alfred Bernhard Nobel, creator of dynamite and smokeless powder, died on December 10, leaving a will establishing funds for annual prizes to be awarded under his name. One of these prizes, by Nobel's own words, is awarded each year
to the person who shall have most or best promoted the fraternity of nations and the abolition or diminution of standing armies and the formation and increase of peace congresses.
1896, that was the year
that from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from Canada to Mexico, gay citizens of the U.S. were tripping a fast waltz to the 3-4 tempo of...
Roar, trip the light fantastic on the
That's where Johnny Casey, little Jimmy Crow, with Jakey Krause the baker, who always has the dough. Pretty Nellie Shannon, with a dude as light as corn, first picked up the walk step on the sidewalks of New York.
East side, west side, all around the town, the tops hang green and rosy, London Bridge is falling down. Boys and girls together, me and maybe O'Rourke, trip the life fantastic on the sidewalks of New York.
Back in time, that was the year that was 1896.
Get your theory, know your time. Don't you worry, weather's fine. All the world knows what I'm saying.
Thank you. is the highest development of camp. Or Fellini is right. The world is a madhouse. I can't tell. I mean, I watched this scene one night when this girl came out. I like to watch it occasionally just for, you know, because it's such a wild, strange thing to watch. Out came this girl. She's dressed in this long gown. They always wear long gowns in that show, right up to their gizzard, you know. There's no such thing as a bosom on that show, Dad. And Lawrence Wilkes says, he says, and now we have a favorite tune of all of you out there, and it's a tune that all of you have been writing in and then asking for. We want you to listen now as Little Lesbia O'Toole sings a favorite old melody that all of you have loved from many, many years. Beautiful Ohio. One, a two, a three, and she goes, beautiful Ohio, a-do-do-do-do. And I'm digging this, you know, and I think any minute now, you know, they're going to go into the, you know, spike your ta-da-ta-da-ta-ta. No, they go all the way through it. La-da-da-do, 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 la-da-da-da. Oh, beautiful Ohio. And then there'd be shots of the audience there looking so benign. And I thought, holy smokes. You know, maybe there is something to this generation gap after all. It's been a hard day and night, and I've been working.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for the Thrift Shop. Thank you, Gene Shepherd. Before that, we heard Birds and Brass with Sword of Sax, Herbie Mann, Do It Again, and Donovan, Get Thy Bearings. Well, the Radio Thrift Shop is music with no boundaries, no genre, and no programmed playlist. Kicking it old school. No Facebook, no Twitter, no twits. No blogs, no cogs, no fogs, no bogs. All right, I'm sinking with no more metaphors and rhymes. Hey, wherever you are on the planet, thank you for listening. And remember, take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of those you love.